The theme for this year is formative sound and vision. So give my listeners an understanding of where you're coming from when you see that in the context of Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Well, if I go back to sort of the origin of this theme, the inspiration for the theme, there's a British author, a northerner named Darrell W. Bullock, who has written a number of tomes excavating hidden histories of queer musicians. And the book in particular of his that most inspired this theme is David Bowie Made Me Gay, 100 Years of LGBT Music. And it's an extraordinary treasure trove of information about musicians, some very well known, others lesser well known, some of whom were never out and queer and out in their lifetime, or their queerness only became apparent in hindsight or public in hindsight. So this idea of somebody making me gay, or making me queer. I mean, that's obviously a provocation, but it certainly speaks to a reality for many queer people where they sort of come out to themselves in the first instance and then to others through encounters with kindred spirits in media, whether it's recorded media of the audio persuasion or video, or in our stock and trade, audio visual media, in particular cinema. But the music video is also an art form that runs parallel to all this, and that was hugely influential in introducing an enormous amount of queerness into homes the world over, especially from the 80s, early 80s onwards. And people of my generation, we just absorbed that. Myself, I didn't really quite clock what was going on in a lot of those clips at the time. In hindsight, I marvel at that fact that the likes of, say, Frankie Goes to Hollywood's clip for Relax, it's not even subtext. It is so in your face queer, that that went over my head. But then again, I was only 12 or something like that at the time. But nonetheless, somehow I feel that that was formative for me, and doubtless was for many others. It filtered in. And so we're looking at all manner of ways in which to this day, film and other moving art, moving image art forms can help form queer people. So, and that's part of our job too, is to help people find themselves and find their community, find other kindred spirits through attending the festival, sharing in seeing films together, seeing themselves on screen or people not unlike them, leading lives not unlike theirs necessarily. Or perhaps unlike this, but aspirationally something they might wish to experience, or also just experiences that resonate. And that just help us continually find ourselves and form us, which is a eternally a work in progress.
So, I mean, this has a normalizing effect, I guess, but it's also about a historical perspective as well as a future self-realization. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
In a nutshell, yeah.
No. It's fascinating because, in actual fact, when you say things like seeing yourself on screen, when and it actually tells you why the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which is the oldest festival of its sort in Australia, has a place, a really important place within our festival culture here.
Well, it's that power of being able to see ourselves reflected back on screen and in the contemporary as well. We represent the zeitgeist of gender and sexuality on an annual basis, and that we call it the alphabet soup, quite affectionately, for LGBTQIA+++ communities, where ever developing and reflecting back those contemporary experiences of gender and of love to the community. And that's incredibly validating and powerful for communities, I think. It's life-affirming and life-changing for people. There's so many people that are coming to the festival who are entering the community for the first time, and boy, are they in for a surprise. But those people could be 17, they could be 35, they could be 65, they could be 80, and only discovering themselves for the first time. And That's a really important role that we play in the community to facilitate that finding oneself and also finding your clan, finding yourself in the queer community.
You, Cerise, have sought out quite a huge array of films, and obviously over the entire year you go seeking films, and you talk about excellence in programming. In the media review, it talks about excellence, and there's 42 features and 19 documentaries in this festival. Tell us where you find these fascinating pieces of work.
Oh gosh, you've got to cast the net far and wide. It certainly helps to attend some festivals directly and to mix with other people who have similar gigs, as well as amongst filmmakers and those people who handle film distribution and sales. So earlier this year, I was at the Berlinale, where I had the privilege of sitting on a jury there for their Queer Film Awards, the Teddies, which was very helpful, a good head start. Also attended a festival in San Francisco, Frameline, which is the world's longest running queer film festival, 48 this year. So that helps. The rest is a bit of a mixture of scouring other festivals' programs and reaching out to sales agents and distributors, saying, what have you got? Often they're quite forward in letting people like me know what they've got. You know, it's their job to find placements for the films they're representing. There's also a call for submissions we put out through the Film Freeway platform, and a torrent of films come to us to be assessed, features and shorts, you know, really quite a lot. And that's the way we encounter some films that we really wouldn't find otherwise, because they haven't screened anywhere yet. Some have, but sometimes this is people seeking that world premiere or Australian premiere.
Finding their audience.
Yeah. So it's often a lot of independent filmmakers. They're not part of a greater structure. They're just seeking their own way in the world. Some of them are young, generally emerging. But also we do get some quite experienced and highly reputed filmmakers approaching us directly too, the longer I'm in the role, the more people know to contact me directly. So I get unsolicited submissions from, you know, a variety of channels. In fact, it's a hunt.
Yeah, because what I'm really getting at is that I can see from the program that you've got a lot of premieres, and they're Australian premieres, and there's a lot of films from other countries, and I'm assuming that there's also a strength in Australian filmmaking as well.
Yeah, there is a nice clutch of local filmmaking. Yeah, part of our mission is to represent a very broad community. We're anything but monolithic, and to, as best as possible, have as wide a representational focus on our community and all its manifestations across the globe. And that certainly includes locally too, and even trying to make sure that has diversity embedded within it. So, you know, of the local films, we've got a very, very rare feature-length Indigenous queer film, Heart of the Man. We've got a Victorian film, Strange Creatures, which will have its Victorian premiere with us. We've got four episodes of a new season of, it'll be the third season of Single Out, a Melbourne-based episodic film. There's another couple of Australian films too, which will occur to me. David, do you recall?
We're not announcing too many right now because we haven't actually launched, but we received something anywhere between 300 and 400 film submissions from all over the globe on an annual basis. And, you know, part of the way that we curate too is through a community selection panel as well. So there's got to be an intersectional approach to the way that we curate. And so those selection panelists are really important and really, really integral into how we program this festival as well. And, you know, it's such a huge volume of texts to get through as well, that having those diverse perspectives on our program really produces, you know, especially with our shorts packages, so many shorts. So like we the two Cerise and I couldn't possibly watch all of them at once as well. So it's a really, really wonderful collaborative process that we go through as a community organization to have multiple perspectives in the festival into our program. And that's and the outcome is really, really wonderful.
Yeah, and I also noticed that you've got a variety of different locations, and you've got a variety of different ways people can buy tickets and be part of the experience.
We do. So we're screening this year at ACME. About half the festival will be back at ACME this year. And we're also mounting, we're bringing back the festival lounge for the first time, long awaited and much in demand. We're bringing back the festival lounge, and that's going to be on theme with Forme de Sound and Vision as well. So there's going to be a karaoke bar in there. We're going to have video jukebox, so you can bring up your own favorite video clips throughout the festival period, and a range of public programs at ACME. Our friends at the Capitol Theatre in the middle of Melbourne, right across from Melbourne Town Hall, are having us back as well. We love the Capitol Theatre, Cinema Nova in Carlton, and Palace Cinemas in Como in South Yarra as well. So we've got a really, it's nicely centralized, but we've made sure that people can get from one screening to another really easily this year.
Which is great. And I know that, like you said, you aren't revealing the full glamour of the festival until the 16th of October. So people really should be looking out for that full program coming out online. But also the film passes are available already. People can early book.
They can. So if you want to check out, we've got about 10 titles as a pre-teaser at the moment, and you can check those out on mqff.com.au. But yeah, you're right. Our passes are on sale already if you want to get a good deal and have the first chance to book the best seats in the house. We've also got, you know, accessibility is really important to us at MQFF to make sure that everybody in the queer community can attend. So we've always got really great accessible options. If you're a concession card holder, you can grab $12.50 tickets, but you've got to get in quick. So from when we launch for about 3 days, we've got a $12.50 concession offer going. And we're also launching this year special screenings, matinee screenings for under 25s for only $5. So for the price of a cup of coffee, you can go see a whole feature film. There are matinee shows at the at ACME as well. MQFF Plus is back, our online streaming platform as well. That's really important for us to reach our regional and remote communities. And that's available right across Australia. So anybody in Australia can view a really good selection of films from the MQFF program online.
Thank you. Is there anything I should have asked you? Because this is this is only a quick taster for people to realise that they should be putting this on on their calendar, because the festival runs from November the 14th to the 24th. And this is Ruth just signposting the fact that it's important for people to keep an eye out for this incredibly interesting film programme.